guiding us and anointing us. If you don't give us any enlightenment, we're nothing. If you don't touch the words that I say, they don't mean a thing. So I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Turn around, give your neighbor a high five. Just smile at them real big. Come on. Don't get all stiff on me this morning. Give them a high five. Tell them, hey, hi, good morning. Happy to see you. Bless you. Blessed to the Lord. Y'all know how we do it. Matthew chapter 22. I think what I'm going to minister on this morning is it'll be a, well, let me say this first. Apostle, I appreciate the opportunity to preach. He said it just a minute ago, but I love preaching. I enjoy this. I have fun doing this. I'm at my best, I think, when I'm able to minister, man, because that's just, I just enjoy it. So when I get an opportunity to do it, I appreciate it. And I don't take it lightly, and I do study hard. Praise the Lord. Matthew 22, I think what I'm going to minister on this morning will be a testament. We have a living testament of what I'm going to touch on this morning, our apostle. And it's great, praise the Lord, that we have a living testament. Amen. I tell people all the time, and people in our church have heard me say this before, but I like to say I'm glad that I'm here in this moment. I'm glad that I was able to be alive at such a time as this. You know, I didn't have to read about him later on in life, but I can look over there and see a live, living testament of what, to me, not y'all can say what y'all want, but to me, it's the closest thing I see to Jesus in live right now. Y'all say what y'all want. That's just how I feel about it, right? And so I just get excited to be in the moment. And I think what I'm ministering on will be a live testament of his life and how he's gotten to where he is. You know, we're all gleaming. We're all connected. We're connected, amen? Amen. And so we're connected. We're gleaming from the anointing on the apostle. And so the object is we want to know, how did God do what he did with you? How did you get there? Tell the truth, right? We want to know, how did you get there? How did you get on that level? When you say, we did a little thing called Kicking It with the Apostle last week, where I got some of the young people together, and we just had a little sit down with him. And he made a statement. Y'all heard him make this statement before, but I just kind of yelled out. He said, you know, he said, it's impossible for me to be broke. Then he said, you ever heard him say, I can't think broke? So I just yelled, and I've been with him all the time. I'm with him every time he said, but I was like, how do you do that? Like, I grabbed my head. I said, how do you think that way? You want to ask those questions. How did you get there? How did you get to that point to where you can just keep sowing and sowing and not worry about anything? And so that's what we're endeavoring to do. So I think what I'm going to minister on this morning will be a testament. We know that what we sow, we reap, right? We know this. We're clear about that, right? We know as long as the earth remains, the seed time and the harvest is going to be here, right? You sow a seed, you get a harvest, right? You sow a seed, you get a harvest, right? Well, let's say it again. You sow a seed, you get a harvest, right? But my question is, you know, I've been sowing it, and some of y'all can be a testament to this. You know, if I've been sowing and sowing and sowing, and I haven't been getting harvest and harvest and harvest like I should, there's something in between that's messing up. True or not true? And the problem is never on God, or it's never on his principles. So now I always like to have personal responsibility. What is it that I'm not doing? What is it that I need to adjust about me to make the process work better in my life? You get it? So now I'm not looking at nothing else. I'm not blaming nothing else. Blaming and complaining only attract more crap to yourself. I'm going to look in that mirror. Look at the man in the mirror. You know the song? Look in the mirror and find out, what is it that I'm not doing? How is my approach? I feel like however we approach God is what we receive from God. However we walk to the throne, if we come boldly, however we walk to the throne, that determines what we get from the throne. So now we're dealing with God's principles and God's laws. However we approach those determines what we get from them. Look at somebody and say, it's a heart issue. Look at somebody else and tell them, come on, it's a heart issue. You know, the best, they asked me for a title earlier, and I said, where is the love? Ask them next to you. Say, where is the love? Y'all know that little song. Where is the love? Matthew chapter 22. And if you know my bit on this love thing, well, it's just lifestyle. Matthew 22, verse 37. And they come asking Jesus questions. And Jesus said unto them, let's start at verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees in silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. Y'all see it? Yes. And verse 39 says, and the second is likened unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. So now we see they come and tempting Jesus. Or what's the great commandment? You tell me, you know, I've been reading about Jesus and reading the Gospels, and Jesus was messing their head up. Jesus even messed John the Baptist's head up. Because he came in, and they thought he was coming to purge the floor. I'm coming to send them all to hell because they ain't doing what I told them to do. And Jesus came in and said, love your neighbor. If they hit you on one cheek, turn the other one. If they sue you for your coat, give them your cloak. If they ask you to go a mile, go two with them. Jesus started ministering to them about love. He was messing their head up. They did not understand. The Pharisees asked him, what's the greatest law? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and then love your neighbor just like that. Messed them up. But then he made this statement. He said, on this hangeth all the law and all the prophets. So that means everything that we do hangs on love. And if love is not involved, then it don't matter what kind of principle you're trying to work. If love is not the key, or love is not the main ingredient, or love is not the initiator of what you're doing, it will not work. Faith which worketh by love. Bible talks about faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Everything that we do hangs on that. Everything that we do hangs on this principle that we should love the Lord our God with all our hearts, our souls, our minds, and then love our neighbor just as ourselves. That is the principle that everything that we do hangs on. Come on, let's think about seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. It's a principle, isn't it? But it hangs on love. It's a testament. It's a testament of my apostle this morning. But it hangs on love. Listen, and you can put this down. Love must be the motivation. There is no other choice. Love must, matter of fact, I wrote it down. As a matter of fact, love is the motivator. Ain't no other motive. Love is the motivator. And I put this down in my note. Any other action that we do for any other reason is self. Anything we do outside of love being the motivator, it's us. It's something that we want. But what does God want? Now, I'm not going to sit up here. I would never do that. I praise the Lord with my God's people. I love God's people. I would never sit up here and question your love for God. I would never do it. That is not my job to do. But you can do it for yourself. And you can do it to see which way your actions are coming from. Because it's got, listen, all the law and all the prophets and everything we do hangs on love. So it's got to come from love first. And not only just love, but loving the Lord your God with all your heart. And all your soul and all your mind. It has to be rooted from there. So now I get sometimes why we sowing these seeds, but the harvest ain't coming back. I get sometimes why we doing this and doing this and doing this, but we don't get nothing back. And we tend to want to blame God. Or we jump off on these other scriptures about waiting on the Lord. When the truth is, you didn't start off with love. And it's funny too, and I want to break this down. This is the gospel. There is no this gospel. No, this is the gospel. The cross has a solidified gospel. It's all included. My way to heaven is included. My health is included, and my prosperity is included in what happened at the cross. So it's not these separate things. But when we get down to this money and we get down to this seed, we try to separate it. Like it's not love. And the only love scripture we know about that is the love of money is the root of all evil. No, but it's all included in the same things. It's all part of the plan. So when God said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, he was talking about your money too. If I give my, hold on, this is a question. This is, I give my life to Christ. Right? We gave our life to Christ, right? Well, you know, when you go to work, man, I'm going to deal with your money for a second. Because when you go to work, they say you are earning a what? You're earning a living, huh? I mean, that's what they say, right? What you do for a living when you're trying to figure out what somebody do? What you do for a living? What do you do for your livelihood, right? Right. So when I give my life to Christ, that means all my money belongs to him too. In the midst of this thing, man, I want you to consider, man, consider our ways. Because they say you put money in bags, but you put it in there with holes in it, and you ain't never got no money. It's a problem. Some of y'all got that situation in here. I understand. But we've just got to figure out what's going on and patch the hole up or get a new bag. Listen, Lord showed me something, and some of y'all might have heard it. Lord showed me something. I had a vision. All right? I'm trying to open vision. I'm trying to be deep. All right? But in the dream, I ain't got a long time to go with this dream. But in the dream, I was holding a barrel in the back of a van. I'm trying to say it fast. I'm holding a barrel in the back of the van. It had some liquid in there. We excited. We going somewhere. We about to take it somewhere. And the guy was about to show us something. And we was in the back of the van. And somebody was driving. We was going fast. Like we was trying to get there. Then the back doors of the van flew open. And the barrel fell over. And everything that was in the barrel just spilled out on the road. Well, if you're excited about delivering something somewhere. And you got in this barrel. Your countenance would change. You'd be like, oh, man, I done waste everything. I done dropped it all. But we still was smiling. And we still was happy. We just picked the barrel up. We just in the back of the van, just still going. And we knew in our hearts that it was going to get filled back up. And I woke up. I said, Lord, what you talking about? He said, dump the barrel. He said, all that faulty thinking that you got, all that crazy thinking you got about everything about me, all this crazy. So now we in prosperity revival, right? All this crazy thinking we got about money and all the foolish thoughts that we have, dump the barrel. Let's stop separating seed from God's original plan to love. Because it's all included in there. I receive it. It's all in the same plan. You know, when we think about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, we go to getting on my knees and I'm going in my meditation room and I'm spending time with the Father, and praise the Lord for that, amen? But we separate that, but we don't see that with our seed. We don't see our soul and our seed as important as us meditating and studying the Word of God. Or spending that hour in prayer. Now, and I'm prone to believe that if you don't get the full thing going, you'll be missing something from God. If you're trying to study and do all this other stuff, why they got anointed people in the body got anointed as ever, but then they ain't got no money to go nowhere? Because you're missing something. It's all in the middle of the cross. It's all there. So now it is not less important for you to sow your seed. Your money is not less important to God. When we consider love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, we think about, you know, worship, and we think about doing, and praise the Lord for all that. I love the worship. I love, praise the Lord. But we tend to compartmentalize God. You can't do that. You can't take God and put him in a box. You want to serve him over here, but you don't serve him over here. Now, the same way that you praying, and the same way that you crying at the altar when you worshiping, and the same way you fall out when somebody lay hands on you, is the same way you should be sowing. The love should be the motivation. Y'all sit down. The love should be the motivation. And anything else that motivates it ain't going to work. So if you got stuff out there that ain't working, love may not be the motivation. Dump the barrel. Look at somebody, tell them, dump the barrel. Listen, dump, look, dump, dump, listen. Dump the barrel. Get all that foolishness out your mind. All that stuff that people taught you all them years, dump the barrel. If you don't dump the barrel with that foolishness, then God cannot fill it with graciousness. Now, I'm trying to get him to fill me up. Huh? How about y'all? Fill me up, Lord. Y'all know we say fill me up. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me. Come on. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up. Well, get that stuff out the way. Get all that other stuff out the way. Let me get through your head real quick. Get it out the way. Dump the barrel so God can fill you up. And it'll be one of those barrels. If you let God fill it up, it'll be one of those barrels that'll never go down. You'll always be living off the top. We got to get this other stuff. Y'all sit down. Come on, y'all sit down. We got to get this other stuff out the way. Dump the barrel, dump the barrel, dump the barrel, dump the barrel, dump the barrel. When he say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, he's talking about my sowing too. When you make this walk up here to sow these seeds, and when you put that offering in the bucket, and when you sow into apostle, that is loving your Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. It's the same thing. It's all in the cross. You used to have on the envelopes, you used to call it, we don't refer to it too much, but we used to call it love offering. Y'all ready to get his love offering? Yeah, because it's a love offering. It better be an offering of love, because if it's of anything else, it ain't going to work. What you giving it for if it ain't in love? Love is the motivator. Anything else outside of that is self. So we see, you know, love is a motivator, and I know we start talking about compartmentalizing God, and we won't put him over here and put him over there and say, well, this is really loving God. You know how we do it. They really love the Lord because they was at the altar, but nobody ever really says, boy, they really love the Lord because they went sold at the altar this morning. Y'all know the truth. Tell the truth. Come on, church. Y'all know that. Y'all never say, boy, look how much they, when the people come walk at the altar, you'll be saying, boy, them, they love the Lord. You ain't never said that. You said, look at them going, sow seed, because they want something, don't you? Y'all, come on, y'all, come on, come on. Y'all don't want to be real with me today. Y'all know you did not sit in that seat and say, boy, Jesus, they love the Lord.
Don't say that.
Look at them. Look how much they love Jesus. They going to their altar, boy, they really love God. Y'all know y'all ain't said that. Dump the barrel, though. Dump the barrel. True. Even in your walk, your approach to the altar when you saw him, your steps should be in love. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you should be thinking, you know what? Watch this. I don't care if don't nothing happen from this. I'm just doing it because I love you, Lord.
That's it.
I don't care if you don't do nothing with this seed right here. I'm doing it because I love you. I didn't do it because I wanted something from you. Well, what kind of love is this if it's all about what you can get? Every time I hear about love, we're going to read it in a second. Every time I hear about love, it's always talking about giving. John 3:16. What it say? For God so loved the world that he... We don't put it together. We don't put it together. We don't put this love and giving together. We don't put it together. But I'll show you some other. I'm going to take you some other places. Well, love was a prerequisite for the giving. It's not, it didn't say, because God wanted a family that he gave. It said, for God so loved the world. You know, it was a giving. First of all, it was a giving to the point to where, you know, everybody not going to accept Jesus Christ. Y'all know that, right? You know, God knew that there was going to be some people that wasn't going to believe in him. There were going to be some people in this world that was not going to accept his rules and his gifting. But yet, he so loved the world that he gave, even if he wasn't going to get nothing back. But here we are. But here we are as a harvest of the price that Jesus paid. Here we are. He got something anyway. Here we are. He gave life to get life. Whatever you sow, you reap, right? He gave life to get life, right? But it had to be based on love. Even God knew it. Even, listen to it. Let it hit your heart for a second. Even if he wasn't going to get nobody to get saved. Y'all think about some of y'all relatives that heard about Jesus, but they just don't want to get saved. God still loved them. And that price that he paid by giving Jesus still belongs to them when they're ready to accept it. Even if you wasn't going to get nothing back, he still gave. If his intention was just to get when he gave, then he probably wouldn't have gave because the people wasn't going to get it. Do y'all get the intention? Y'all sit down. For God so loved that he gave. It made me think about the scripture. We only can love because he first loved us. So we can only walk in this because he decided to show us how to walk in it. So now, for God so loved the world that he gave. Loving came before. It didn't say God gave because he loved. No. I think the Bible is very intricate in how the Holy Spirit got him to write it. It's very important how he got him to write it. And it says, for God so loved that he gave. He didn't give just to give. That was in there for a reason. He loved, and so the love was a knee jerk to him giving. It's just, like love makes, it's certain things that love make you do. It just, listen, we ain't got to, let me love. No, you ain't got to do none of that. You ain't got to strain to do it. There's certain things that love will make you do. Think about your family members. Think about your children. Think about your husband and your wife. Think about the people that you love in your life. Think about the people that you care for. There are certain things that you do without being asked to do it. And you don't ever stop it. I love my child today, so I'm going to feed him today, but I'm not feeding him tomorrow. Nope. Even if they made you mad, you're still going to feed that child tomorrow, ain't you? You don't stop. Love don't stop. Say it. Love don't stop. It just don't stop. So there are certain things, I'm jumping ahead, there's certain things that love makes you do. It makes you act a certain way. And so now I want to say, for God so loved, not just love, but he so loved the world that he gave. That love was a motivator of the giving. Not only was it a motivator I received, not only was it a motivator, but it was a prerequisite to the giving. God knew that if I give without loving, I ain't going to get nothing back, because love is the thing that pulls. Love is that magnet. The love of God is that magnet that pulls all good things. It's going to be a testament of my apostle this morning. Listen to me. Listen to me. It's a testament of his life. You want to know how he got there? You want to know how he got there? All through love. Dump the barrel about what you feel about love. Love is kind. Love is meek. Love. I understand that. I get the Bible saying that. But stop. Get the hearts out your mind. And you smiling and all that. Now get it all out your head right quick. God so loved that he gave. Galatians 2:20. Some of y'all know the scripture you're quoting in your head right now, ain't you? Let me show you where this loving and this giving comes together. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh. How many of y'all living in the flesh right now? Now, don't get all deep. I'm in the flesh and carnal. No. Touch your hand right quick. Touch your face. It's flesh, right? All right. This is what I make sure if you get all deep on me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, the faith of Jesus Christ. The life that I now live on this earth in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. What is the faith of the Son of God? That loved me and then he... Faith was working by love. Faith was working by love. Faith was working by love. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see it? He loved and he gave. It sounds just like John 3:16. For God so loved that he gave. Luke 6:38. You know, we're going to do a little reading a little bit. This book, I love this book, Living by the Book. Because it teaches me how not to be biblically selective. And how not to just jump in that scripture and find what I want to say to prove my point. And then jump out when it attacks me. Y'all know how we get. We go in, hit our scripture, and then we go on to the next text. You see, Living by the Book tells us we got to find out the context clues. Where was you at? Which way was the wind blowing? What were they talking about? Right? Who was he talking to? Wow. What's the context? What did he say before and after this scripture? What was he talking about that led to this? Now, Luke 6:38, you ain't got to look at it. Some of y'all can quote it. Give, and it shall be given to you. Say it. With the same measure you meet. Praise him, hallelujah, right. Y'all know the scripture, huh? Y'all know we're going to say give. And he going to do all that other stuff for us, huh? Right? Y'all know how we look at it, right? Well, you know, before that, I don't know if you ever read before that. But before that, Jesus had just left off talking about love.
And I start off verse 27. He was saying some different things, talking to different people, correcting them on different things. Verse 27, he said, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. Oh, Lord, did I lose you there? Him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Then it says, give to every man that asks of thee. And of him that taketh away thy good, ask for them not again. He goes on. Jesus was messing them up. Jesus was busting their head because they did not get it. They did not understand the power of love. They didn't understand what love could do. They didn't understand that love was the base for it all. They didn't get it. Verse 31, as you would men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Find yourself. For you love them that love you. What things have you? Anybody can love somebody that love them. For sinners also love them that love them. And if you do good to them that do good to you, what thanks have you? For sinners also do the same. And if you lend to them who hold to receive, and thank you for sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Verse 35, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Hoping for nothing again. Y'all see that? Do y'all see that? Hoping for nothing. Do what you got to do. Love, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your father is also merciful. Verse 37, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Then we get to verse 38. Then it says, say it now. Watch this. Hold on. Shh. Watch this. For the same measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. And we thinking, I give 20, I'm going to get 20. No. If I give a lot, I get a lot. No. It's talking about that measure of love. That same measure that you meet, it shall be measured unto you. So that means my measure of love, how do I approach it? Did I have a little bit of love in there, but I had 30% love but 70% me?
Right, that's the measure.
Who was this seed for? Why did I give this? You know, we got to get rid of this. There's a couple things, and an apostle dealt with it last night, but this needy seed. A couple ways that seed don't really, it just don't work that way. It don't work just because you need it. He didn't say he gives seed to the needy. He gives seed to the sower, and then talks about all that. He's going to take care of everything else, right? My God shall supply all your need. I'm going to take care of all that, but I'm going to give seed to the sower. Well, how do I know when somebody's a sower? Well, I can only tell if somebody's a sower if he's listening to me to know when I tell him to sow. But he can't hear from me unless he's in love with me. The way that I hear from God, watch this. The way that I hear from God, what allows me to hear the voice of God, or what allows me to get revelation from God, is the Holy Ghost. And in Romans 5:5 says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So that means now I can't tell if I'm a sower unless I'm yielded to the Holy Ghost. This is how you find a soul. Then I'm going to take care of all that need stuff. You can't be up there being needy. You just sowing because you need something, because that's you. That ain't God. That ain't God's plan. Get rid of that needy seed. Y'all get rid of this ambitious seed. I look up the word ambition. It says you strongly desire a rank. Or you strongly desire your fame. And see, this money can be tricky if you ain't got love in place already. It could be tricky. You can get beside yourself. You can start thinking that you're bigger than what you really are. When the truth is, you ain't nothing without God. Ain't no good in you but him. You remember that, right? Ain't no good in you but him. You ain't nothing without him and him having his hand on you. But you know that money, if you ain't got that love in place and God dropped that money off on you, you get beside yourself and start thinking you the one. You know, I was talking to my dad and my mom the other day. And I said, you know, sometimes You know, we, y'all sit down. Sometimes it's, you know, we as the children. Leroy Jr., then Shauna, then I was third, then I was fourth. And, you know, we living pretty good, right? And things are flowing and things are going good. And sometimes, and I just got to be honest, sometimes we can get beside ourselves. We can walk in the room and start pointing at people, telling them, you stand up, you come over there. Hey, bring me my dinner. Hey, you know, we can get beside yourself because you start thinking that it's you. And then you got to remind yourself that I'm leaning on a heavier anointing and I'm only here. I only got this suit on. Driving the BMW. Look. See, we ain't got to be biggity. 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 I understand why I am where I am. Y'all stick with me for a second. Now, I understand what's going on, but sometimes, you know, we can get beside ourselves, start calling punches, and yes, you, everybody do this for me, do this for me. But hold on, you got to get beside yourself. He the man. And any authority that I got in this building, I know people might respect me a little bit. I understand. Praise the Lord for that. But I do understand that behind me, there's a bigger anointing. And I know what my last name is. So I know when I say something, and you tell me no, hold on, I'll be right back. All I got to do is bring the man in the room. And everything is cool. So you got to have this love in place already. You got to have this love in place already. Now, let me talk about me and my siblings and my father and my mother. Let me tell you something. The love is in place already. So even if we get beside ourselves for a little moment, we snap back because the love is in place already. We don't love them for what they're doing for us. Let me take you back, and Leroy Jr. know more of it than I do, and Shauna know more of it than I do, but it ain't always been like this. For people show up in your life and think you've been that way. Look at you. You had a silver spoon. Yeah, it was dirty. Old Tarnas broke up silver spoon. Always been like that, but I remember the first time my mama bought me two pair of tennis shoes at the same time. I said, boy, we rich now. I said, woo. I said, we out here now. I started walking to school stepping, boy. Don't you? Hey, when we was younger, we used to put the little plastic bag around our shoes, that table, so they went, you couldn't tell me nothing. But see, that love, listen. That love is already in place. So whether you did it or you didn't do it, that love is already in place. Not only is that love in place, but he taught us how to love. He taught us how to be humble. He taught us how to walk right before God. He taught us how to do those things. And because of the training, we're able to walk in the place that we are without being high-minded, nor trusting in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Y'all sit down. So this love and love for God has to be in place first. I just showed you John 3:16. I just took you to Galatians 2:20. Showed you where that love and that giving was together. I just took you to Luke 6:38, how he was talking about all that love and everything supposed to do. Then you give. Don't you give until you got that love in place. Because it's going to be a selfish gift. And all you're going to get back is self. You know, self got us in the problems that we're in, right? And so why you think I'm sowing, but I keep getting more problems? I'm sowing, but I go further in debt. Because the motivation is not love, because love wouldn't do that to you. I was asking him, let's get beside myself. So asking him, we did the thing and we were talking. And I asked him, I asked him this one day before, man, just me and my mother and my father was at the table. But then I asked him again when we was doing the little kicking it with the apostle thing. We was all, and I said, at what time, and it was kind of a trick question, but I knew the answer, but I just knew, I just had to ask him, at what time in your life did you realize that you wanted a jet? I said, when was it that you realized that you wanted a jet? Because, you know, you didn't have about four or five now, right? And four jets now, right? So I said, when was it, what day was it that you realized, man, I wanted a jet? That day never came. That day is not in his lineage. That day is not in his lineup. He ain't never, God, please give me a plane. He didn't ask for it. But because he loved God, God told him about this last plan. He said, this is a gift from, who does God tell that to? I don't hear God tell that to no lot of people. Hey, this is a gift from me to you. I'm giving this plan to you as a gift. Because of who? Because you love me. You know, what you do? Don't you give gifts to those that you love? He said, I'm giving this plan to you. As a gift, he didn't go up there and say, Lord, please let me get this plane. Father, I need a plane. I'm sowing this seed toward. No, he didn't say that. He didn't start off, Lord, give me a worldwide ministry. He didn't ask that. Matter of fact, worldwide ministry, when he got saved, he just fell in love with God, wasn't even thinking about ministry. Action. He right there, action. Wasn't even thinking about it. I just love God. And so because I love God, I'm trying to see what he wants me to do. So I love God. I love God above everything else. Don't nothing else matter but the love of God. And so now because I love God with all my soul, my heart, my mind, with everything that I got, I just want you, God. I just want you. If you don't bring nothing else, I just want you. You know, that's what worship really is. When you tell God who he is, regardless of how you feel, I tell God, if you don't do another thing after this, I still love you. And I've decided to make sowing a lifestyle because I love God. So I don't think that sowing works just because something shows up. I know that sowing works because God said it, so I do it because I love him. It's already knee-jerk. I said it before. We already understand that what you sow, you reap, right? Right, 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 right. We understand that what you sow, you reap. It's a principle, right? If I sow, I get a harvest, right? I understand that. So because I understand that, let me get my mind off of thinking about this harvest and all this over here and keep it on God. Keep your eyes stayed on him. You throw yourself off by looking at the wrong thing. You ask Apostle. He wasn't asking for none of that stuff. He wasn't looking for none of that. He sowed seed. When he started finding out, he tell a story about when he learned how to tithe. When he found out it was the right thing and that was honoring God, he just started doing it. He didn't tithe to say, oh, you know, I got to get my increase. No, he was just doing it because he loved God. That was it. Love was it. Love was it. And so because I loved him, he said, because I love God, I'm just going to do it. And when it's time to sow, I'm doing it in love. I'm not doing it to reach no goal. I'm not doing it to prove nothing to nobody. I'm not doing it because I want to validate my lifestyle. I'm just doing it because I love God. And now we see why he is where he is. Why God can do the things for him like he does. Why he ain't got to think broke no more. Why he can't think broke no more. Why can't he think broke? Because he always thinking about God. If you're always thinking about God and you always got the love of God on your mind, ain't no broken God. So if I always got my mind stayed on him, then I can't be thinking about my need or my ambition or what I want to happen because it's all on him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so if we have not taken that seed and wrapped it with love, if we had not taken that seed and wrapped it with the love of God, ask the Holy Ghost, what is it you want me to get? Put all your plans on the side. Quiet in the church. Put all that stuff that you want on the side.
That's right. You said it.
Sit down. Look at me. I want y'all to look at me. Put all that, listen. I'm not saying that you shouldn't want anything. You say, well, my church should have. No, I understand. You got this, but Psalm 37:4 says. So I'm not saying you shouldn't have any desires. But your desire should be more for God first before any of that stuff. Come on, my people. Your desire should be for God first. Now, once again, I'll tell you, and I'm going to tell you again, I'm not questioning your love for God, but I need to check your mind. Maybe you need to readjust some things when you're sowing. Check your mind and readjust some things when you're sowing. Check your mind and readjust your things when you're sowing. Because if I'm sowing and I ain't getting what I'm supposed to be getting, there's somewhere in between, and I'm bound to think that it's love. You know, even when physically planting seeds outside in the ground, it take a little love. You tell it, give it a little sunlight and a little love, right? Right. It take a little love. That means because there's some things you got to do. You got to protect that seed. Just like you protect your children. Just like you protect your mate. You protect your family. You protect your churches. You have to protect that seed. You have to watch out for it. Then you have to water it. Then you have to place it in a proper position to where it can get the sunlight. There's some things that you have to do to show that you love what's going on. So you got to give it a little love before you get a harvest. So there's got to be some love involved. Where is the love? Next time you saw it, I wanted to ring in your mind. Say it. Where is love? When I pull this money out of my pocket and I look at it before I go, so where is the love? Understand that we have things coming up, and understand that, you know, but yesterday morning, the apostle told me the angels got the bills in his hands already. So hold up. If the angels got the bills in their hands already, then that means we ain't got to worry about them no more. And if they got them in their hands already, then I can not worry about that and focus on what I got to do. Come on, y'all. Work with me. That love will get the worry off your mind. That love will get the I receive it, sir. Will get you being overly concerned off your mind. That love will push everything aside, and all you can see is God. And then in that is your answer. In that is everything that you need. In that is all your increase. If that scripture says, just do it without wanting nothing back. He said, and your reward shall be great. The only way you get a great reward is out of love. And that's it. I'm gonna end with this. We still in Luke 6:38. We're referring to apostle. I'm telling you how he did it. I'm telling you it was all love for God. And every action was rooted from the love for God. No. No, I tell him this on a regular. He know I told him this before. But I said, I thank you for hearing God. I sit in this building. I said, y'all, I'm going to say it every time I preach. So you just get tired of hearing me saying it. I said every time I preach. I was in that back, you building, the lights was flashing. I was walking on the thing, and I said, man, we wouldn't even be here if he wouldn't have heard God those 30, 40 years ago. And then not only, because you know, in between 40 years, you got some tests to come up, right? You know, between 40 years, you got some decisions to make. And you better make the right ones. But his love for God made him make the right decisions to where here we are and everything is flowing. But it's rooted from the love of God. And that's our story. Y'all see that? That's what we're connected to. You want to know how he got there? That's how, right? You're right. Luke 6:38 said, give it, it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, run over. Shall men give it to your bosom. For with the same measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, right? Right? It shall be measured to you again. Verse 39, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, can the blind lead the blind? Or shall they not both fall in the ditch? And verse 40, a disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So as he goes, the blind can't lead the blind. But clearly we being led somewhere. So that means he sees something. And a visionary sees something that you can't see. They stand up on the watch and they see beyond what you can see. Then they come back and tell you how to do it. Listen, we have to hearken. We have to listen with the intent to do. I think we miss it because we get excited, but we don't do what he does. Listen, you need to break it all down. Break it all down and be like what he said. Break it. Listen, ministers, preachers, ministry helps. Break it all down and do it like he did it. Before you do something, find out how he did it.
Do y'all see me? And then as he is, so can we be. We can be just like our master. I mess y'all up, huh, y'all? When I say a master, y'all thought about, psh. Huh? They thought about, psh. On the pole, you thought about slavery, didn't you, huh? No. Bust that head. So break it down. In your midst of your day to day. All the stuff that we're doing, let's just break it down. Let's break it down. And once you break it down and get down to the love, ain't nothing else involved but the love. Huh? Ain't nothing else involved but the love. You say, well, I got this situation going on right now, and it's pressing me. And listen, if you break it, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. If you break it down and get to the love, God will take care of that. Is he not concerned about what you got going on? Then in the grace of mercy, say, he'll help me where I messed up. Break it down and get back to the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.